If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read from starting at verse 14. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and we can pass them out to you. But otherwise, you can just turn to the screen. So here we go. Matthew 5:14-16. We'll be reading in the NASB. This is Jesus speaking to us, Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm also going to read from the Message version. You can also see that on the screens. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let's pray. Tim, can we get the water? Father, Lord, we thank you for just a wonderful time of worship, Lord, this morning, the opportunity to gather together here to worship you, Lord, and even just all the songs declaring that you are the light, Lord, and even JoJo's offering song, speaking of you, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. You are with us, Lord, always. That is the promise that you have given us, Lord, that we can hold on to, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for this service, Lord, for everyone here today, Lord. I pray that you give us a heart to receive everything you have in store for us this day, Lord. And I pray that the words I speak, Lord, I confess, without you, these words are just sounds, Lord. But with you, Lord, they can be so powerful, Lord. They can touch people. They can transform lives, Lord. So we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, Lord, that you would do your thing, Lord. And everything that you want to do with us, Lord, that it would be done in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just get more water. So, just as Pastor Nate mentioned, it was made known to the worship team last week as they were worshiping, leading the worship, that Pastor Sam decided not to do salt. He did decided to do light. And I remember that moment, too, because I was beside him. I was doing a service coordinating, and it was at that point when the song started going, he's like, oh, yeah, Kenny. I'm just preaching on salt, so you'll be doing light. And I was like, what? Are you serious? What's the difference? Right? He's like, oh, you'll see. So Pastor Sam last week did it on salt. And even during this discussion this week, it kind of made me think, what is the difference between salt and light as it would pertain to the way we live our lives as salt and light. So just to give a quick summary, Pastor Sam talked about salt, and the three things he mentioned that salt does is it is a preservative, it is painful to an open wound, and it makes you thirsty. And he used these, aspects of salt to parallel it with our Christian lives. And so if you want to find out what exactly those things mean, you can check it out online next week. But overall, I would say the way salt is, it's something that would impact lives, right? It's impactful. It causes an action or causes a reaction, right? So that's how I would kind of describe salt. So I wanted to kind of, I was hoping before, as PSAM was doing his message on salt, and he listed all these interesting aspects of salt that we weren't even aware, right? Most of us think of salt makes food salty, tastes good. But beyond that, he listed all these things that salt does. Amazing. So I wanted to do that with light. But I couldn't really come up with anything that profound. At most, it was, oh yeah, light helps you to see. Profound, right? And light, I thought of, okay, like revelation. You know, sometimes, you know, in cartoons, a light bulb appears, and we say, oh, that's a light bulb moment. So that was all I could come up with. I wanted to go deeper. Someone's like, oh, you should talk about how light, is it a wave or is it a particle? But I couldn't turn that into, like, how that is manifested in our Christian lives. So today I am just going to dissect the text and just use the Bible, the Word, to really define what light is. And it will just be in two parts, really, where I'm just going to talk about light, which is the majority of this verse, and then I will go on to talk about good works in the end. So first part, starting at verse 14 in chapter 5, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So this light that Jesus is talking about is a reflective light, a reflective light. And what I mean by that is we are a reflective light that reflects Jesus. In John 8, verse 12, it says this, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So what is this light of the world? It's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. You guys can answer, by the way. So even as Jesus is talking about, you are the light of the world, he's not telling us that we are to make ourselves known so that we do things and we shine and people are like, oh, you know, Matthew's awesome. Look at him, right? That's not the point. The light of the world is Jesus. So even as he's talking about us, our responsibility is simply to let that light, Jesus, to be seen. We are a light to reflect his light. And then much is the case, you could say, with the sun and the moon, right? The moon basically is reflecting the light of the sun. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's our role, simply. We are to make him known. And that's our job, not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to Jesus. So, two, this light that he talks about is also a regenerated light. A regenerated light. What that means is being born again. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, you can track along, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Right? We are a regenerated light that was once in darkness and now in light. And I remember this very vividly in my life when I was in the darkness as well. Before I was a Christian, I remember one of those moments when I was so dark, right? And this was after a night of partying in not Long Kwai Fong, but more like the escalator Soho area. And I remember it was really late and the escalators were closed and I was walking home, right? Walking home. And suddenly I just felt this loneliness and emptiness within me, kind of thinking, what was the point of that, right? Because in some ways, when I think of, maybe it's different. I've talked to other people about this, but like clubbing in Hong Kong is so funny, right? When is the best time to, apparently the best time to go to a club and have lots of fun is when it's crazy packed. That's when everyone wants to go. It makes no sense. So you're in this club that's super packed. You can't move. You can't talk to anyone. It's hot. You're like rubbing with random strangers who's so hot. You can't do anything. So it's super awkward, right? Because you're just like, this for hours. So the only thing you can do to make yourself feel kind of comfortable at that time was you would drink, right? You have a drink in your hand, so you're doing something, or you would, in your other hand, not now though, but back then, you could smoke. So all you could do, the most productive thing you can do at a club is attempt to have a very awkward conversation, or you're just like doing this or this. And then once you're done, you do it again. So I think, all to say, it's not exactly the most fruitful of time. And it caused me at the end to kind of question, what am I doing? And I had no solution. So at that time, I said, okay, well, I'll just suppress what I'm feeling, right? And whatever. So it was a dark time for me. But as my testimony goes, as one thing led to another, I'm fast-forwarding this really fast because this is not my point. I met someone at a club who was fasting alcohol, and that led to a conversation. And from there, he invited me to church. I said, no, thank you. But he asked me, do you want to play basketball? I said, I love basketball. So that's how I met the rest of SP. And out of obligation to a friend, a German-Korean friend who promised his mom that he would go to a church when he was in Hong Kong, I accompanied him to church, and I met other SP people who I initially partied with. And then one thing led to another. So I don't condone that, by the way. But one thing led to another, and I experienced God. I was prophesied over. The Holy Spirit came, I experienced them, and it brought intrigue, where I was like, oh, there's something to this. It's not just a belief, but it seems to be something real. And where I experienced the light was I remember going home, flying back to Toronto, and I was experiencing this really bad turbulence on the plane. Really bad. And it was a 30-hour flight, because I was going for a cheap flight with all these like layovers, back to Toronto, and no screens, so it's just me, myself, and I. No screens, and then crazy turbulence. And by the way, it's very important that you put on your seatbelt during turbulence, because apparently if you don't wear your seatbelt, like, you can be thrown in the air, and you come back, and you like break your spine, FYI. So it is actually very important. You're safe most of the times in turbulence, but it is very important to put on your seatbelt. I don't know why I threw that in there. I thought it was important, something I learned. But I was experiencing this crazy turbulence, and I just got so scared to the point all these thoughts came, this fear that was uncontrollable just came upon me. And so scared, and I even just thought, like, oh, what if I die? All these thoughts. But then in that moment, and this is when I really stepped into light, and I believe when I was born again, when I realized that Christ was my Savior, is I remember Holy Spirit came and just gave me revelation and said, okay, what will happen if you die? And he said, and I said, oh, I guess if I die, I will go to heaven. I was like, oh, okay, that's great. And he said to me, What will happen if you live? And then I remember responding, oh, if I live, then you'll be with me still. So it was like kind of like this win-win situation. Worst case scenario, I'm with God. Worst case scenario, I die and I'm with God. Best case scenario, I live and I'm with God, right? And at that point, I just fell asleep, right? And at that point, I think that was when I was really born again, right? Because I was a new creation. Suddenly, all these worries, all these things that I was living for, it totally changed, right? I had this Savior who was with me always. And again, that name, Emmanuel, oh, it's amazing. God with us, right? And that's the promise that God gives us. And, you know, we hear this term, born again. When I first heard this, I was like, what is that? It's so hardcore and weird, right? How can you be born again? But it's from the Bible, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. that old things passed away. Behold, now new things have come. So that's where we get that born again from. So we are a regenerated light. Only if we are born again where we've received the Holy Spirit, right? Only then do we have a light that we can even reflect, right? So we are a regenerated light. So this light, number three, this light can also be a repugnant light. A repugnant light. So this means a light that is not well received, right? We think, oh, of course, light is always well received, but it's not. And actually, I give this credit to my wife. She actually shared, oh, it's kind of like, you know, when you're sleeping and suddenly a really bright light turns on, right? And then what's the reaction? Oh, right? I do that with my daughter. I'm trying to wake her up. She's having this super long nap, and it's like a cloudy day. I just want to wake her up. I turn on the light, and then she's like, no, off, 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 and I have to turn it off, right? It's kind of that reaction. And in John 3, verse 19 to 21, it says this, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." So yeah, right? If just because there's light, it might not be well received. And according to this verse, the more you're in darkness, when you're exposed to light, you have this reaction. I can't stand it. And that's the same. When we're in this super dark place, when you're watching a movie, and then as soon as you step out, the light, the contrast of light hitting you so much that you're like, can't stand it, right? And we look at Jesus, right? He is the brightest of all lights. Agreed? Yeah. And yet, you know, some people, he drew a lot of people, but a lot of people couldn't stand him, right? And as a result, he was belittled, he was scourged, and he died, right, as a result. So yes, though you may be a light, right, that reflects who Jesus is, it can also be repugnant. And this is persecution, right? And Pastor Sam shared on this a few weeks ago, "Blessed are the persecuted." So if you want to find out more about that, you know, go online. Okay, moving along. So we're done with "you are the light of the world" and defining what this light is. And then it says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Cannot be hidden. Notice it says it cannot be hidden. It doesn't say it should not be hidden. But it cannot. It cannot help but be seen, right? And that just, it reminds me of when somebody is, oftentimes, new believers, but they're, you know, just so filled with the Holy Spirit. So filled with the Holy Spirit. And we would even say this term, like, they are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And at that point, they're not even trying to be seen, but you just can't help it. And oftentimes, you would say stuff like, oh, do you see Kiwan? I'm just using everyone on the front row. Kiwan, did you see Kiwan? He's so on fire, right? He's not trying to, let people see it, yet that is the result. He's just so on fire. And, I mean, the context of this verse where it's talking, or context of light in these verses, you know, back in the Bible times, I mean, there's a few forms of light. There's the light that comes from the sun, right? There's the light that probably comes from a candle, but I think most commonly the light that they're talking about would be the light that comes from a lamp. And so how a lamp functions is, you know, what fuels it is oil. And the more oil that is being released into the lamp, the brighter it will be, right? And you see this with those Bic lighters, right? It has this like plus minus swivel, right? If you basically what's happening is if you put it to plus, it's more the lighter fluid is being released, so a bigger flame. And that's like us too, right? We are like a lamp and we have a fuel. We have an oil. And that oil that we're talking about is the Holy Spirit or anointing, right? In that same way, the greater the anointing that we have in our lives, the brighter we would be, right? And that's the same as I talked about someone who's overflowing. They're just so much anointing and Holy Spirit is filling them, they cannot help but be seen. Because when we're talking about anointing, what are we saying when we say someone, oh, that person, you know, someone's prophesying, someone's healing, someone's words are just like when they speak, it's like God is speaking to us himself, right? When we're saying, oh, that person's so anointed, what are we saying? What we're saying is basically Holy Spirit is so evident in their life, really. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes we give the person maybe too much credit, almost like they're have some superpower, but that's not what it's about, right? What we're saying is Holy Spirit is so evident in their life. And without a doubt, the brightest light of all with the most anointing would be Jesus, right? And in John 3:34, it talks about his anointing without measure. It says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. And that's why he's so bright. With us, however, in Romans 12:3, we are operating with anointing with a measure. So it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So again, the greater the anointing we have, the more we can really reflect the light of Jesus. So next part of the verse, it says, you are light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. So the type of light we are to be is a responsible light. A responsible light. And so he's telling us the intention as light is we are not to be hidden, right? We're not to be put away. Because just as salt, right? Jesus references salt. Salt without taste, raw, or salt that is not salty, what good is it? It's useless, right? It's just little rocks, I guess. And it's the same with light. A light that is hidden under a basket, what use is it? It's not of use. We need to be put on a lampstand. And I think this also speaks with us, is we need to be unashamed. Because quite honestly, oftentimes when we are hiding that lamp, it's shame. Right? Like, oh, people won't accept me. What will people think? Will I deal with persecution? Right? But we need to be unashamed, right? Because remember, the cost of us being able to receive this light is so great. And the goodness that God has revealed to us is so great. So we need to be unashamed and be this lamp. We need to be a responsible lamp. After this, it says, we need to be put on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. So this speaks of our purpose, the purpose of light. In Acts 26, verse 17 to 18, it says, I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 6, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I mean, I kind of emphasized the part about, you know, light to darkness. And I know this sounds in some ways very Star Wars, right? There's the Force, right? And there's the Force, there's the dark side. And I didn't know this until I Googled this, but you know what the opposite of the dark side is? Does anyone know? It's not the Force, because the Force is just like how you use it. It was actually called the light side. I know, sounds weird. So there's this dark side and light side, and you know, they're both basically in this struggle to, you know, influence and each other and bring dominion, right? And that's basically what we're called to do as well, right? Maybe, hopefully that brings you some excitement, like some adventure, like, oh yeah, it's just like Star Wars, or I should say Star Wars is like the Bible, really, because the Bible came first, right? But yeah, that is our call. That is our purpose as light, is to bring light in the midst of darkness. That is our call. And that's not an easy call, right? If we look at Star Wars, when the Jedi are battling the Sith, it's never easy, right? It's like, hey, do you want to come to light? Yeah, sure. It's never like that, right? It's a battle, right? And that's how it is going to be for us. Hopefully sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's going to be tough. Actually, most times it's going to be tough. So now we get to the good works part, okay? It says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let me just read that one more. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, first off, sometimes there's some misunderstanding. Because you think, okay, I have to do good works. I have to do good works. That is how... That's what I have to do and I have to earn. So that's not true, right? Because in Ephesians 2, verse 8-10, it lets us know that we are saved by grace and not by good works. In Ephesians 2, 8-10, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So the result of this grace that we receive, right, that's freely given to us, and then we get to have this relationship with God, and we realize how amazing he is. You know, he's Emmanuel, God with us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We're never alone. He's always with us for the rest of our lives, and he continues to bless us and reveal his love to us. What is the result of that? Is hopefully there is a reaction where we want to reciprocate, right? And that is the good works that we do. And this is not a supernatural thing. In fact, it's very natural. And in fact, just very recently, you know, actually my last anniversary, wedding anniversary with my wife, it was our 5-year anniversary, and for whatever reason, it's just like we're really busy and kind of tired. And we were like, we decided, okay, let's not do anything special. Let's just have a meal together and be able to, because we have a daughter. It's like, let's just be able to really enjoy the food. And that'll be an anniversary appreciation in itself. So that day we had lunch together. And as we're coming home, you know, we had house church, so I really wanted to go home, and we had already kind of prepared house church, what we were going to do, but I wanted to take a nap, because I was so tired, right? So I wanted to take a nap before house church, so it'd be fresh. But the whole time, Janie is just walking so slow, and it was, like, infuriating. I'm like, hurry up, why are you walking till let's go? And like, she's just like kind of like, I don't know, it's like she's getting lost or something. And then finally, we were about to get to our door, and she like was like, follow me. I was like, what? We're so close to home. I like wanted a nap. And she forces me to follow her. And basically what happened was she was trying to stall because she was waiting for a Uber to come. And she basically arranged this whole surprise where she like whisked me off to the Hyatt. And we like just stayed there and got a she arranged a massage for me, for us, not just me, for us. And we ordered room service. And it was so nice. I felt so wooed. And she had just so you know, we didn't cancel house church. She rescheduled house church for the next day. So we still, you know, prioritized house church. And but all to say, I felt so loved and wooed, and it was so nice. Thank you. And then, and even just a few weeks ago, she did, she sent these, like, cupcakes to the office, and these balloons at 10, and then I kind of heard something, and they're like, oh, Kenny's in here, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, no, mistake. Mistake. It's you got the wrong person. And then they're like, and then the guy was kind of, like, really confused, the delivery person. And then I was, like, checking dates, like, is it her birth? Like, is there something? And there wasn't. So I was like, it's a mistake. And finally, he gave it to me, and I opened the card, and she, basically, it was our 10-year dating anniversary. So for me, once we got married, I no longer remembered our dating or engagement. Too many dates, right? I just remembered our wedding anniversary. But she actually remembered our dating, and I was like, so like kind of embarrassed. I almost feel like I knew, and like, you know, women receive flowers in the office and you're kind of embarrassed, but you're kind of happy at the same time. So I had that feeling as well. And as a result of that, I want to say my reaction was I wanted to do something really special for her as well. So for Mother's Day, you know, Pastor Sam, you guys heard he cooked for his wife. Right, and it was a big deal because he never cooks. So we're hearing, and he's like he's asking the stuff, hey, how do you make asparagus? How do you make potatoes? How do you do this, that? Literally everything, right? How do you boil water? No, I'm just kidding. And at that point, I'm like, oh, I want to do something special too. But I was like, oh, what should I get her? But I wanted something that she could experience, right? So I kind of recognized, you know, as a mother, you take on the responsibility oftentimes, even though when it's like a group dinner and we're there, she'll be the one to like feed and, you know, take care of Danielle. So she had kind of expressed some of her wanting, that's the best word, wanting to, you know, it'd be nice. She said, oh, it'd be nice if, you know, at times I just wish I could just be fully engaged to enjoy the food and just build relationships as well. So I was like, okay, let's do that. So basically myself, I talked to Pastor Nate, Matt, his brother, as well as Pastor Ricky, and we said, we arranged this thing, we surprised the moms, and we thought, oh, like, to basically have dinner together at a nice restaurant. We said, get whatever you want, you know, enjoy yourself, and we would take care of the kids. And at first, like, Pastor Ricky's like, oh, I don't know if she's really going to want that because I think she really wants to spend time with me and my daughter. But all to say, they had an amazing time to the point where they said, let's do this every year. And that kind of caught me a little off guard because I wasn't ready for that type of commitment. But all to say, I was very happy that I could have done something like special for her, right? And it's not like after I did it, I'm like, okay, now we're even, right? Now, you know, you did something that took a lot of thought, so I did something that I thought, now we're even. No, it wasn't that at all. It was just for the sake of wanting to please her, right? And I say that because that is our natural response, and that should be our natural response with God too. After all he's done for us, he's so faithful. You know, how much have we done for him? And even what we do for him should be simply to please him, So, what is considered a good work? What is considered a good work? In Titus 3:14, it said, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they may, so they will not be unfruitful. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So it could be almost anything, right? It could just be serving to meet a certain need. But it says here, it could be anything, whether to eat or drink, anything you do. But the key is the motive, right? What is your motivation, right? And it is, if it's to glorify, to bring glory to God, then that would be considered a good work. I mean, and the whole point of, you know, as we were talking about the light that we reflect, this light is not us. This light is Jesus, right? So these good deeds that we do, the point of it is so that people would not see just you doing something good, but is that they would see Jesus, right? I want to read this story. It's from Dr. Raymond Brown, and this is his story. He said, a minister friend of his was in Calcutta, India, and rushed to get to his train on time. He was running late. If he missed a train, it meant he would have to wait for 12 hours in a crowded city with which he was unfamiliar and where he had no place to stay. As he made his way hurriedly to the station, he had to walk through a market. Doing so, walking swiftly with his suitcases, he accidentally knocked over a fruit and vegetable stand that was being run by a blind man. Fruit went in every direction, apples, bananas, mangoes, tomatoes, and beans. But as this minister was late and so rushed, he hurried on. He made it in time and was now sitting comfortably in a seat on the train. All he could think about, however, was that blind man and all the fruit that had fallen to the ground. Before the train began to move, the preacher got his suitcase, got off the train, and made his way to the blind man's stand. The blind man was on his knees, reaching for his fruit and putting the fruit and vegetables in their boxes in order to be sold. The minister got down on his knees and began to help the blind man and said to him, I'm so sorry. I have ruined your day. The fruits are bruised. I will buy them all from you. They filled the cart, and the minister left. As he did so, the blind man shouted at him, sir, is you Jesus? As soon as he heard those words, the minister knew that he had to do what he did. It was righteous behavior. So you see, the good deed, right? He helped, even though it was kind of his fault, but still. But the point is, the good deeds, it's not to show ourselves. I mean, the best would be when they see that good deed, they see Jesus. They see Jesus. So a question this is for everybody is, what do you think is more difficult? Living out the good deeds or good works through your actions, or is it harder to live it out through your words? So I think most of us would probably say it's harder to live out the Christian life, you know, these good deeds with our actions, right? Because people who simply just speak about their good deeds that they want to do but never do it, we would consider them a hypocrite. And I've heard people talk about, you know, evangelism often and you know, being a salt and light in the marketplace. And what they will say is, you know, the way I go about it is I want to do it through my actions, right? Through, you know, living righteously through my actions. And that's correct. Good on you. But I want to submit to you, at some point, you also need to express it with your words, right? I would say if you're living righteously with your actions, hopefully, like the relationships that you're demonstrating that in, I would say hopefully within, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, a year, at some point, you also talk about it as well, talk about your faith. And sometimes we think it's one or the other, right? But I think this is also a radical middle where we need to live it out, our good deeds, live out, be the light through our actions as well as our words. Be unashamed, again, in the way we do that through our actions, but even as we profess Jesus to others and share about it, we would be unashamed as we do it. However, and it says in the verse, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good words. Such a way. So that means as we do these good deeds, as we share, like, we need wisdom, right? We need wisdom in the way we share. And I know earlier we said, I mentioned, oh, as a light, we can be a repugnant light where people are like, you know, can't stand the light very naturally. But that is not our intention, right? That's not what we desire. That's not our first, you know, plan A, right? That's not what we're trying to do. We want people to receive the light, right? So we need wisdom of how to deliver it, how to go about it. And this wisdom is not our wisdom. I mean, God will use the wisdom we have, but we need God's wisdom, right? What I mean is, sometimes, yeah, we're going to be called to be bold, to be courageous, and just be very blunt. And it works because the favor of God is upon you. And I know someone I know, she used to be in my house church. She was the craziest evangelist, right? She would go to Wan Chai, and she would see people who are drunk, and she would say to them, like drunk expats, and say to them, man, I mean, I'm just, this is not word for word. This is the feeling I get. But something to the extent of, wow, don't you feel like you're really wasting your life, and it's really pathetic. She's saying these to these drunk expats. So you're like, most of us like, oh man, I don't want to get punched in the face, right? And as a result, one person was basically like, said something, some curse words back to her. But surprisingly, someone else said to her, wow, that is the most refreshing thing anyone has said to me in a while. And as a result, what happened was, you know, her and someone else, and this is a part of, I believe, SP Lights and Sons and Daughters, their ministry. As a result, they had a talk with him, found out he used to be a Christian, he backslid, he came to SP. And his story was also, he actually has a family, he has children, and he left them. He came to SP, I forgot what the message was, but it really touched him, and he actually decided after that one SP visit to fly back home and reunite with his family. Amazing, right? Another thing she does, it was actually kind of honestly, I mean, this is my shame that is revealed. Every time we went anywhere, whether it be on a streetcar, not streetcar, tram, or on a subway, she would evangelize to someone, whether it be expat or even like an old 80-year-old man, right? And the first thing she would, this is how she started every conversation. She said, do you know what will happen after you die? That was the first thing she said. And I'd be like, in my flesh, I'm like, that's just low EQ, right? That's not wise. That's not how you're going to get someone. But yet, it worked time and time again. One time we're going to dinner and we're on the tram, and like she's talking to this 80-year-old man, and someone else in our house church is translating as well. And the wife, he has this old wife, wife, and same age. And then she was the whole time like kind of yelling at him, and she just kept. And by the end, like she stayed on the tram. We got off because we were supposed to eat somewhere. And by the end, she came back and we're like, oh, what happened? It's like, oh yeah, he gave his life to Jesus. It's like, what? So we need wisdom, but we need the wisdom of God as we share. So those are the whole parts. That's light. That's good works, right? And just to summarize the whole thing, you know, you are the light of the world. We are a reflective light that reflects the light of Jesus. We are regenerative light where we have received that light that we can reflect. And sometimes we are also a repugnant light where people can't stand it. And then it says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, this city can't help but be so bright to be seen. And oftentimes when we are so filled with the Holy Spirit, so anointed, that's the same. We're not trying anything. We just can't help but to be seen. And then nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. No, we need to be responsible, right? God created us to be a light to be seen. And it gives light to all who are in the house. The intention of light is to be light in the midst of darkness. That is our purpose. Let your light shine before men in such a way, so have wisdom as we, you know, present this light, that they may see your good deeds, good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Even these good works that we do, the point is that people would see Jesus, not us. And I would just want to point out that Jesus says, you are the salt. You are the light. He didn't say like, you know, blessed are you if you are the salt. Blessed are you are the light. It's not really a commandment. In fact, it's almost like that's who we are, right? You are the salt. You are the light. That is who you are. You can't help but be a city on a hill to be shown to the world. Yet, it seems like we're trying to be the light. We're trying to be salt. Isn't that weird? We're trying to be something that we already are, right? And I think what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to encourage us. He's saying, you are the salt, you are the light, right? Salt, you're supposed to be salty. Light, you're supposed to be seen. So don't feel condemned, right? But just be like, oh yeah, like be encouraged. This is who we are. We are supposed to be. We are supposed to be light. We are supposed to be salt. So as I was really praying, I felt like what the Holy Spirit wanted to address with us is this big question. And I want to invite the worship team up. Here's the big question. I mean, if we are light, if we are salt, and it's who we are, and we can't help but be it, why aren't we? Why aren't we the light of the world? Maybe it's because you don't know enough about Jesus, right? Maybe you don't know enough about him, and what's required is you just read more about his word, so you know more about him, so you can really know about him, so then you can be his light. Maybe. But then, as I recall, when I came to the Lord, I didn't know much about him, right? Yet, that might be one of the brightest times I was shining as his light. Maybe you're just so busy. There's just go, 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 go. There's just no time. No time to be light. Barely enough time to even pray, right? But yet, for some people, when they are so overwhelmed, that's when they're so poor in spirit, right? And that's when they say, God, I need you. And for many, when they're in that overwhelming situation, that's when they even come to the Lord, right? So why aren't we the light in the world? And this is what I feel like God has really led us to. And I submit this to you. The reason we are not light of the world is because of darkness. Because of darkness. Yes, we are light with the purpose to vanquish darkness, but sometimes darkness has affected us. The enemy has come. The enemy, when I'm talking about darkness, right? The enemy It says the enemy is like a prowling lion out to devour you. He's out to get you. The enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy. The enemy has very bad intentions towards us. And as I think of the enemy, I think of an assassin, right? How does an assassin function? It's scary because basically if you are the victim of an assassination, you have no idea it's coming. You don't know when. You don't know where. You don't know who. In fact, you're completely oblivious to it. And then before you know it, you're dead, right? And that's what the enemy is like. The enemy is like an assassin. He's coming against you. He's attacking you. You know, he's creating circumstances or making use of circumstances where you're experiencing fear, rejection, loneliness, depression, accusation. All these things are coming against you. And he doesn't want you to know it's him. In fact, he wants you to think, oh, maybe it's just circumstances. And you think it's just circumstances. And before you know it, those circumstances define you. You might just experience fear, but before you know it, you are fearful. You might be experiencing some loneliness in that circumstance, but before you know it, you're lonely, you're depressed, right? And you don't even know that it's the enemy who did this. In fact, you think, oh, it's just me. That's who I am, right? And it's no wonder this light that we are created to be is so dim. It's no wonder that this light is so hidden. So I want you to know that, you know, as we talk about sin, and, you know, if you're in Lamb or Single Life Workshop, you've already heard this. But as we're talking about sin, this enemy, sin is spiritual, right? You've heard of maybe the spirit of anger, spirit of fear, spirit of lust. All these things are spiritual. And to deal with these things, you need to deal with it in a spiritual manner as well, right? I think oftentimes, how do we deal with things? Like when things are coming against us, when the enemy is coming against us, you know, someone might say something mean to us and we go, God loves me. Right? God loves me. And we just like grit our teeth, flex our muscles, and then just say, God loves me, which is true, which is great, right? But we need to deal with this spiritually, right? I mean, declaring God's words is wonderful. It's the correct thing to do. But when we are being, when something is coming against us, we need to hear from God, right? And we need to also, through the authority of Jesus, to also speak against these things that are coming against us. And I think oftentimes we forget to do that. So, if we could just close our eyes. Again, Jesus said, you are the salt, you are the light. That is who you were created to be. The enemy has come against you and you don't even realize it. You know, he's brought hurt and situations into your life that have actually affected you to be salt and light. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What has come against you to be light? And even as I was doing this, I did the same thing. I went through the same exercise. Ask God, what has come against me? And for me, it was the spirit of rejection that has come over me. I had an experience where shortly after I was born again, I was just, you know, being this light, sharing it, sharing this, you know, if you care about someone, you want to share what amazing thing is happening in your life, right? And I had a best friend. She was not a Christian. And I would just share with her. I wasn't even trying to convert her, but I was just sharing, oh, today at church I experienced this. Today I learned this. Oh, I had this breakthrough. You know, experienced confrontation and forgiveness. Usually I'm so passive and more of a peacekeeper rather than a peacemaker, and just sharing all these things. And then one day she just exploded on me. And she said, "Stop trying to convert me." And the funny thing was, I had never tried to convert her. All I did was just share, just let this light shine in my life, right? It was never, I mean, I would love for her to have, you know, step into light. But that was not my intention, actually, really. And I responded by saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize I was doing that. Of course, if you do, that'd be great, but I'm sorry." And that's how I kind of treated it. But, I mean, if we're thinking about real friendships, right, you would hope that she would also accept me for me, right? Just as I accept her for her and love her and build relationship and the things that's experiencing her life, that I accepted her for that and loved me. I would have hoped that she would have done the same, right? And Jesus just reminded me of this situation, and I had to really humble myself, because I think, you know, we want to be this tough Christian Teflon, nothing affects me because I'm so secure in Jesus, right? I'm fine, I'm secure. But as I humbled myself, I recognize that actually did affect me. The spirit of rejection came upon me, right? But, you know, Jesus wants us to be the salt. He wants us to be light. He wants us to be whole. And he will bring restoration into our lives. So I want to open up the altar to you. If you feel like that something really has come against you, to be that salt and light, to just come up to the front. Come up to the front as the worship team leads us.
Bring restoration. Bring restoration. You bring restoration. My soul.
We're going to do a prayer together now just to really rid these things that have come against you, to really be the salt and the light. So as I say these prayers, for instance, I'm going to start with, instead in the place of what you guys have come against you, I'm going to say these spirits. So for example, right now I'm going to say, I nail these spirits to the cross. So when I say these spirits, you would then repeat and say, I nail, you know, spirit of rejection, spirit of fear, that time, you could say even, yeah, that time that my parents yelled at me, I don't know. Is that clear? Yeah? So just repeat after me, even though seated, if you're aware of what has really come against you. So I nail these spirits to the cross. I break all agreements I've made with these spirits. Known or unknown. And I repent of joining with these spirits. I ask you, Father, to send these spirits away from me. Now, Father, what do you want me? What do you want to give me in the place of these spirits? Now listen, God will speak to you, and this is where he does that restoration work for you to be salt and light again. I encourage the people sitting, if you know the people at the front, to pray over them, to prophesy, you know, what you think God wants to really give them in the place of those things that have come against them. So, Nate, you can just lead us.
You've taken my...
Call me by a new name. You've taken my shame, and in its place, you give me joy. You've taken mine. You've called me by a new name.
Let's all rise to our feet and let's just respond as that salt, as that light, to be unashamed. Yes, Jesus, we just want to seal everything you've done, Lord. Those things that have come against us are gone. We've nailed it to the cross, Lord. And that rhema word that you spoke, that you want to give to us in the place of those things that have given, that have come against us, we receive it, Lord. We receive it deep into our hearts, Lord. Let it resonate in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that for just giving us our identity as sons, as daughters in you, Lord, that we are salt, we are light, Lord. The world cannot help but to see us, God. Not see us, but to see you through us, Lord. People can't help but to experience you, Lord, through our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would be so free, Lord, so free, Lord, unashamed to be who we are, God, unashamed to profess of how good you are, Lord. And we pray against that fear, that rejection that might have come against us, Lord, that has hindered us, Lord. And we say no to that. We nail it to the cross. We do not come into agreement with it, and we come into agreement with you, Lord, and your goodness, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. It's all about Jesus.